Thank you, Pastor Mike. Awesome as usual. Good morning. God bless you. How's everybody doing? Loving this Florida weather? Praise God. Amen or oh my. We do need the rain. This is Overcomers Part 3. If you didn't get notes, or raise your hand. The ushers will give you a note-taking device, which is a piece of paper. It should be in your worship guide, but sometimes you don't get enough or you need two, so let the ushers know. So here we go, Part 3 of Overcomers. Right away, we're going to jump into your notes. Got to fill in the blank. I still love that slide. Look at that slide Jenny Sanjana made. That is so cool. First fill in the blank, Christians must be overcomers. You have to be. It's part and parcel to Christianity. The earth is under a curse, folks. Genesis chapter 2, you read 2 and 3. God made everything. He called it paradise, the Garden of Eden. It was excellent. It was perfect. There was no death, no pain, no suffering, no problems, no thorns, no mosquitoes, folks, no mosquitoes. Blood was not shed. And then Adam messed up. He took the authority that God gave him over the planet and gave it to a renegade angel named Satan, and a curse came on the planet. So that's where we live. And so Christians are overcomers. Before you become a Christian, you can flow with the world system. You can go with the devil. I sure did. I just was going faster and faster, you know. And then when you become a Christian, you realize, no, I can't go that way anymore. I have to resist the flow of the world. I have to resist the curse. And so you have to overcome the force that's all around us. So recognize that, understand that. I think a lot of people get confused in their Christianity because maybe they walked an aisle, they prayed a prayer, and they thought somehow we kind of get it in our mind that when we pray the prayer and make Jesus our Lord and respond to that altar call, that it's as if the curse disappears around us. It doesn't. It's still there. But we have the power to overcome. So we're overcomers. The curse doesn't disappear. We have the strength and the authority by the strength that's in us, which is Christ, to overcome. We're going to see that. We're fleshing that out in these messages. This will be the final message. Next week I start a new series. But Christians must be an overcomer. And here's an important concept to understand. Being an overcomer does not come naturally or without effort. You have to pick it up. You have to be taught it. It has to be imparted. Some of us, maybe it was modeled in our family. Some cultures are better with the overcoming attitude, and there are some cultures that are totally bought into the victim attitude. I was talking to somebody that has been to a few different countries recently, and they were telling me the stark difference between these two different countries. I won't name the countries, but the one country they went to, and then they went to this other country, and they say it was so different. Say in this first country, people just sat around their houses. The houses were dilapidated. There was nothing growing in the yards. And all day, people would just like sit under the tree. They would congregate and sit around. And they had, in my mind, I'm thinking, they've got this victim mentality. Doesn't matter. I'm not going to, nothing. I can't do any better anyway. The heck with it. Just give up and just accept it. And this is the way we live. And they said that they went to this other country. And the countries were not that different as far as natural resources. But it was the attitude of the people. And then they went to this other country, and it's not like the people were rich, but their houses were neat and clean, and everybody was always working in their yard and growing stuff, and they looked neat and clean. And this person said the big contrast was the people in the first country, they just sat around, and the other people, other country, even if they were old, the person said, they were always busy. So they had an overcoming mentality. It was like, you know, the earth, even the Bible talks about the earth does not yield its fruit easily. It has to be taken from it. It has to be cultivated. We have to exert effort. If you want to grow a crop, if you want to have something, you have to overcome the effect of the curse to get it. You can see that in cultures. You can see that in environments. And I don't know what kind of culture you were brought up in. It affects us, but I do notice that in our country, we are heading in the wrong direction. We are slowly shifting toward the victim mentality, which is not the way we were founded. When people came to this country, it was solidly this overcoming. It was like, don't give me anything, just give me the opportunity. And now we're seeing it turned around, the victim mentality that I can't really do it. Somebody has to provide it for me. Somebody else is my, you know, source. And so we have to be careful in our Christianity that we don't buy into spiritually the victim mentality that I can't overcome the challenges that I have in life. That's just me. That's just the, you know, I can't. And then you want to, because the devil and the world system will pat you on the back when you say that and say, yeah, that's right. That's right. But the Bible doesn't pat you on the back when it says it, when you say that. In fact, we're going to see scriptures where Jesus said we have to have a different spirit than the world spirit. Next fill in the blank is this. Our default setting is a victim mentality. Why is the victim mentality bought into so readily in society? Because there's something on the inside of us that wants to accept that. That makes it easier. Our default setting is to make excuses rather than to look at ourselves and say, hey, you know, I could do better. There's something on the inside of us that goes, no, there's nothing I can do about it. I'm just accepting this. And then when you go down. And to be a Christian, really, the Christian life is from glory to glory, strength to strength, faith to faith. The path of the righteous, the Bible says, is like the light of day. It shines brighter and brighter. But in order for that to happen, we have to exert effort. You have to push back, see? So it's much easier to acquiesce, and now we have a whole huge group of people that are saying, yeah, that's the way it is. So you can certainly find a lot of company and people that will pat you on the back and say, yeah. And you'll also find people resist you when you want to break out of that mentality and start to rise up. There will be people that try to claw and pull you back because it convicts them. And they don't want to hear that. So this is a challenge for us as Christians to obtain what Jesus purchased on an old rugged cross 2,000 years ago. It's really pretty astounding what he says we can have if we'll believe. Is like way up there. So let's look at this. So our default setting, it was your fill in the blank, is a victim mentality, and our default setting is to make excuses. And the world is trying to overcome us. That's where we get a victim mentality. It's the idea you can't win over the world. It's the system is too powerful. Just give up. But here's what Jesus said, John chapter 16, 33. Don't you love Jesus? Don't you love when he just makes it clear, makes it plain, makes it simple, and you just look at it and you go, oh, that's the way it is. Here's what he said. In the world, you're going to have tribulation, so too bad. You can't overcome it. Just give up and let the tribulation. Is that what he said? No. But he makes it plain. He says, you're going to have tribulation. He didn't say, in the world, everybody's going to love you. It's going to be easy. People are just going to hand you stuff. It's going to be so easy to obtain everything that I've promised you. No, he said, you're going to have, now what is the world? The world system. Everything that we fight against. In the world, you'll have tribulation, but, look at this, be of good cheer. That's the challenge. Because the world says, don't be of good cheer, be sad. Be disheartened. Look down. You know, don't you see that? So many people, just dragging. That's the world. And here's what Jesus is saying. It is what it is, but you got to look different. You got to have a different face. You got to put but it's tribulation. How can you be of good cheer when there's tribulation? The end of the verse. I've overcome the world. See, it's understanding that what Jesus did on the cross still works today. There's a power released in our life and working in our life. In the world, you will have tribulation. So don't be upset when you face tribulation. Stay with the verse. But be of good cheer. Who controls that? Me. We're just bringing it home. Can we just make it really simple here? I have to choose whether I'm of good cheer or not. It's not anybody else's fault. I can't blame, well, it's because of this and because of that. No, I can choose to be of good cheer in the midst of tribulation, in the midst of what, and that is right there. We're going to continue our seven steps. That is a key to victory, is how I respond to tribulation. Be of good cheer. What I've found in my life, it's a decision. It's not a feeling. When you face what you're going to face in this life, the feeling is to get down, get depressed, get discouraged, look down at the ground, kick the ground, blame this and blame that. That's the default setting. We all can easily go there. You cannot let yourself go there. You have to make up in your mind. You make a decision, say, I'm not going there. That I've found in my life, that's how it works. You just make a decision. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to be of good cheer. And the devil says, why in the world would you be of good cheer? And he reminds you all the problems. You know why? Because Jesus said, right here in this verse, John 16, be of good cheer. That's why I'm going to do it. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. That's when he's able to release his power on your behalf. When we take that response of faith before it happens, faith always comes into operation before the answer. You don't need faith after the answer comes. You need faith before in order to release God's power on your behalf. So our default setting is to, here's another problem I want to look at. Now we're going to look at solutions. You with me? Everybody okay? Our default setting is to identify with our weaknesses or temptation and own it or become it. You hear people, they own it. I am an alcoholic. Let's just kind of, I understand what you're saying. Technically, I mean, if you want to get the victory, you have to say, I used to be, and I'm still easily tempted in that area, but through the grace of God and the strength of God, I am an overcomer and I'm no longer an alcoholic. Don't own it and keep saying, that's me. Don't own your temptation. We all have things that we struggle with. Don't identify yourself with it. You see that in the homosexual community. They own it. That's who I am. No, see it as something that you have to overcome. You'll never overcome whether it's, don't make that, oh, I'm a gambler. I can't help it. No, I used to be controlled by this. Now I overcome that. Whatever the vice might be, it could be a liar. Don't, I'm a liar. I can't help it. That's, and I've had people tell me that, Christians in the church, why are you doing this? I'm a liar. They owned it. And you know what? I never could get through to that person because they would not let go of that. It was like, I am a liar. But see, if the Bible says it's sin, and clearly in Scripture it's wrong, then you can't own it and hang on to it and try to coddle it. You have to say, no, that's not, if it's a sin, that's not me. I'm not calling myself that anymore. I'm saying that's a weakness. That's an area I have succumbed to in the past, but not anymore. I'm not a liar. I'm not a thief. I'm not a thief. I'm not a drunkard anymore. I'm not a drug dealer anymore. I'm not going to identify myself with the things I used to do. Oh, I'm just a drug dealer. I'm just a thief. I'm just a liar. No, those are things I used to do, but now I have to distance myself from them. I can't do them anymore. In fact, after I got saved, I would see things in my house that I had stolen. And the Lord would say, you got to take that back. That's very humbling and very embarrassing to take stuff back that you stole, but that's not me. I'm just a thief. No, I'm not a thief. That was who I used to be. I don't still hang around with those people. I don't still do that junk. That was me. That's not me. You see, Paul clearly said, you know, he didn't even identify with his old self. He only saw his new self. He would say, I've wronged no one. Really? You've wronged no one? In other places, he talked about the things that he did. He had people thrown in jail, stoned to death. But he's saying, that's the old me. I'm the new me. I don't identify with the old me. Don't hang on to the old you. Don't find your identity in your temptations. Find your identity in Christ. Here it is, 1 John 5:4. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world, overcomes the past, overcomes the temptation, overcomes the sin. And we're talking about 7 keys to success. There's some things that you need to do. You need to get the right friends. If I kept the same old crowd that I hung around with before I got saved, it wouldn't be long. They drag me back to where I was. There's some decisions you have to make. There's some steps in this. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. So we don't identify with our temptations. We identify with our champion, who's Jesus Christ. So the victim mentality says, just so you can clearly see it, I can't help it. The devil made me do it. You remember that? Does anybody remember Flip Wilson? Anybody my age? He had this character. He always said, the devil made me do it. And sometimes we want to use that. The devil can't make you do anything. You have to agree with him. That's just the way I am. Just see if you can, if you've heard this or if you've said this. No matter how hard I try, nothing gets better. I can't win. I'm a born loser. That's just my luck. Those are all things that go along with the victim mentality. Now, here's statements that an overcomer's mentality makes. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Greater is he that is in me than the obstacles that I'm facing in life. An overcomer's mentality says things like this. You face something difficult and you go, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And overcome it, you have to change the things that come out of your mouth. The overcomer's mentality says, everything always works out for me. You say, well, how can you say that? Well, I just read Romans 8:28. God causes all things to work together for good to them that love God. I love God. He's going to cause this to work. He didn't cause this to happen. You see, sometimes we give up before the fight even starts just because something bad happens. Oh, we give up. No. Oh, I'm going to overcome this thing. It says, it ain't over till it's over. I'm still in this thing. As long as you're alive and breathing, then you have I'm going to make it. I'm going to overcome. No matter how long it takes, how difficult it is, how long the struggle is, I'm just going to keep the overcomers. I'm going to keep fighting. Overcomer's mentality says one plus God makes a majority. If God is for me, who can be against me? God is on my side. I'm a world overcomer. It doesn't matter how bad it looks today. God's going to bring me through this thing victorious. Let's look at Revelations 2:7. Jesus speaking, he says, to the churches, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches, to him who overcomes. So he's putting it on us. I'll grant to eat of the tree of life, which is, how many want life, peace, and joy? It starts with the decision to be an overcomer. 1 John 4:4, you are from God, little children, and have overcome them because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. So you are destined as a Christian to win and be victorious. And not only that, you're also destined to help other people become victorious and lead other people out of the place where you've been. You're called to make a difference. Do you know that? As a Christian, sometimes we just get too wrapped up in God, help me, God, help me. And that's good. Pray that. Don't stop there. And help me help somebody else. Go all the way. That's what Jesus said the commission of the church is. Go. He said, here's the great commission he gave. He didn't say, just sit and huddle around the fire, sing kumbaya, and I'll take care of you. Just lick your wounds. No, he said, go into all the... Didn't he know they had issues? How many people got issues? You got issues. I got issues. All God's children got issues. And if you don't think you got an issue, that's your issue. We got issues. And all the disciples that he talked to that day, they had issues. But he didn't say, worry about your issues. He said, go start helping other people with their issues, and I'll take care of your issues. Go into all the world. It's the Great Commission. You can't get away from it. Your life will not be complete. Your healing will not be complete until you become a part of a team that's making a difference. That's just the plain, honest truth. At this church, there's four goals that we have for you. Number one is to know God. We want you to know God. Continue to know God. We want you, number two, to find freedom. That's a lifelong process. Number three, we want you to discover your purpose. You have a unique purpose. We want you to discover it. That's what Growth Track helps us with. And number four, we want you to make a difference. Be thinking about making a difference at all times. Last week, I gave a little sermon illustration sort of as I was talking about predestination, and I made up the story about Pastor Mike. Some of you weren't here last week, but how many remember the story about him? I gave him a map to go to New York and take the van, and instead he went to Santa Monica and went living under the Santa Monica Bridge, right? Well, people pay attention to these messages, especially the youth. Ryan Concannon, she paid real close attention to my message, and I don't know if she knows about this, but her dad took a picture of her note, little sheet notes, and here's what it looks like, what she had drawn on there. It says, see, we got some on-fire youth here. It says, this is on the corner of the note thing. It says, bum Pastor Mike. Living in church van under pier in Santa Monica. It actually looks a lot like the Santa Monica Pier. I don't know if you've been down there, but it looks just like it. And he got the van down there, and here's Pastor Mike with his long, scraggly beard. See it? And the shorts. And what I love is the McDonald's bag laying on the floor in front of him, the van. He's living in the van. You did a great job, Ryan. I love that. Give Ryan a hand for sermon illustration. That's great. People are paying attention. That encouraged me greatly. Yeah. Paying attention. I don't know if she took any other notes. All she got was the van. Seven steps to success in overcoming. I'll give you all seven and show you where we're at, and we're going to continue and finish this list today. Number one, let the word read you daily. We already talked about that. Number two, seek out friends who overcome. Very important to have the right circle of friends in your life. They will lift you up or drag you down. Three, walk in the Spirit. We talked about that. And number four, let's go through all seven. This is where we left off. We're going to pick up with number four today. Worship often. Number five is feed your faith. Starve your doubts. Number six, identify and use your gifting. And number seven, be thankful. So let's go back to number four. This is where we left off. Worship often. Here's a fill in the blank. Even if you don't feel like it. Worship is one of the most powerful forces you can release in your life. Psalm 34:1, Psalm of David. David went through some tough stuff in his life. And he said, I will bless the Lord when I feel like it. I'll bless the Lord when things are going good. I'll bless the Lord when they put the crown on my head and finally old Saul, I don't have to deal with him anymore and the Philistines are vanquished and life is easy and I'm floating through life on flowery beds of ease. No, he said, I'm going to bless the Lord at all times. Most of the Psalms that David wrote, he wrote in the most difficult, darkest hours of his life. The king, he was anointed king by Samuel and then he had to wait a long time. He did some great things, and nobody recognized him. Instead, the king tried to kill him. Saul was trying. He was running for his life for years and years. Not only was his supposed friends trying to kill him, all the enemies were trying to kill him. And when he said this, I'll bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall once in a while be in my mouth. No, continually. That's David's key to success. That's your key to success. You just make up your mind, no matter what you're going through, just bless the Lord. Praise the Lord. The best way to handle stress is to praise the Lord. And David said in Psalm 28:7, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him. I'm helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices. Now, his heart didn't greatly rejoice in the circumstances. What made his heart rejoice? Worshiping God. His praise was continually in his mouth. So what you need to do, the next thing in your notes, turn your worry into worship. Whenever you start worrying, think to yourself what I'm telling you today. Stop the worry and start the worship. I have found this to work in my life. When it seems like I just want to cash it in, throw in the sponge, give up. Oh, I just can't take another minute. Anybody ever been there? I can't make it one more day in this struggle. Just go worship God. Because if you continue in that line of thinking, it will destroy you. In one way or another, it will take you down. You got to turn it around. I've just found I just got to go get alone where I can worship God. I just got to go for a walk. I got to go for a ride. I got to get out and just get alone with God. And you just stay there until the burden's lifted. Even though you don't even have an answer and nothing has changed on the outside, something's changed on the inside. You got to change it from the inside first. You have to learn to worship and be a worshiper. That's what created success for David. He was a worshiper. Psalm 91, verses 2 and 3 says, I will say to the Lord, you got to say it, my refuge, my fortress, my God. And that's worship. Worship isn't just singing. It's coming to God saying, my refuge. What's a city of refuge? That's the God's your refuge. My fortress. my God in whom I trust. You're going to get me through this thing. For it is he who delivers you. When does he deliver you? After you make that statement. I will say to the Lord, it is he who delivers you from the snare of the trapper and from the deadly pestilence. Number five, feed your faith, starve your doubts. The next thing, keys to success. Seven keys to success in overcoming. Number five, feed your faith, starve your doubts. To do that, next fill in the blank, take every thought captive. That's where it starts, right there. Every thought, there's some thoughts you cannot follow up with another thought. You can't keep going down that path. There's some thoughts you say, that's not a good thought. That's not a God thought. That's either a me thought or somebody else or a devil thought. And take it, the Bible talks about taking thoughts captive to the obedience. There are thoughts you have to tear down. Don't think every thought that comes into your head. Examine it by the word of God. Say, does this honor God? Is this going to take me where I want to go? Is this a faith thought, or is this a fear thought, a doubt thought, a victim thought, or is this an overcomer's thought? Examine it. Take every thought captive. Don't think thoughts of failure or fear or disaster or calamity. You got to take them captive. Rachel, our daughter Rachel, just went to Italy a few weeks ago with the University of Florida. We were so excited. I was so excited. She's getting to go to Italy. And then like a week before she was going to go, she tells me this story about a friend at work says, oh, she says, I went on one of those trips last year. We went to London, and one of the girls in our group was abducted, and they didn't find her for 3 days, and they told me all the things that happened to her. And all of a sudden, see, now, well, what do you think I started thinking? I just kind of walked out, and I was, man, that thing was eating me up. It was like, oh, man, what if she's going to be on the other side of the world, and something like that's going to happen. And then I realized, wait a minute, that's disaster, that's calamity, that's fear, that's, no, you don't. Now, there's wisdom. If God says don't go, but just because something happened to somebody somewhere sometime, and then and the more I thought about it, and then I started thinking about that movie Taken, and well, I got to, where's Jason Bourne when you need him? Where's Liam Neeson? Liam Lee, whatever his name is. Liam Neeson. I got to call him to go with Rachel. I got to go with something. But it'll eat you up. And finally, if I said, no, that's not going to happen. I pray over it, I bless her. I forget it. I tear it down. And I didn't worry about it anymore. She had a great trip. She said it was one of the best events in her life. I could have got scared and said, don't go. I could have got her scared. And she would, but she went and she had a great time. Don't dwell on disaster and calamity. Christianity is the blessed hope. Some of us need to hope again. Get your faith, give your faith something to shoot for. Speak words of faith. Don't speak your fears. Speak your faith. What are you hoping for? Mark 11, Jesus said to them, have faith in God. Have faith in God. For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, doesn't doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to come to pass, he'll have whatever he says. Speak faith. Bible faith has no limits. Oh, man, nothing is impossible with God. Number six, identify and use your gifting. This is very important to you becoming an overcomer. You have to use what God's put on the inside of you. That's the key to being an overcomer. Gifts have been deposited in you. It's the glory of a king to conceal a matter of God, to conceal a matter, the glory of kings to reveal it. He purposely put gifts. You wrap gifts. They're wrapped up. You got to unwrap them. That's what Growth Track does. Helps you identify those gifts. But you have to put them into practice. Your next fill in the blank. The devil wants you to be a parked car. It's a car. It's got a good engine. It's ready to go. But it's parked. And now here's the thing about a parked car. You cannot steer a parked car because it has no effect. And here's the thing about identifying your gifts. The devil wants you to have. It's okay. He don't mind if you have all those gifts as long as you're not using them, as long as you're not putting them into practice. Gifts don't threaten him. It's people using their gifts threatens him. He wants you to just sit on your gifts, maybe make a plaque to your gifts, tell people all the great gifts you have. But that doesn't bother him. But when you actually use your gift, See, devil wants you to be a parked car. God wants you to shoot you like an arrow, as it talks about. It's going toward its mark. You have a mark to hit. Discover how you were uniquely made for his glory. Find that. Go to Growth Track. Explore your next steps. Go to Serve Day. Serve Day will pull on everybody's gifts in a different way. So you like to pray for people. You like to set up tables. You like to help the police or whatever. There's going to be opportunities. Lead a small group. That's a way to put your gifts, put a demand on your gifts. Get in a small group. Get on a dream team. Number 7, be thankful. 7th key. 7 keys to having an overcomer's. You got to be thankful. I heard about the story about this guy that was hunting lions out in the jungle, and he took a shot at this lion and he missed, and then his gun jammed. The lion turned, starts coming to eat him. And all of a sudden the guy doesn't know what to do, and he says, "Lord, turn him into a Christian lion." The lion's just right there, and all of a sudden the lion stops and looks up and says, "Thank you, Lord, for this meal I'm about to eat." He was a thankful lion. It's good to be thankful. Psalm 136:3 says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord of Lords, for his mercy endures forever." Ephesians 5, "Don't be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Don't get drunk with wine, that's dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody with your heart to the Lord." Now here's sums the whole thing up. Look at this. "Always giving thanks for all things." That's pretty impressive right there. "In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ," even the always, that doesn't leave any room for any other. Always, and look at this, "for all things." Really, God? For all things? If something bad happens, I'm supposed to thank God for that? What is that? It's a statement of faith. What's it saying? It's all going to turn out for my good. It's going to be okay. You just got to have that attitude. Man, I'll tell you, I think I'm finally getting it after 40 years of being a Christian, of just not worrying about the stuff that happens and just saying, you know what, it's going to turn out, you know? I look back on 40 years of day after day just thinking, we're never going to make it, and somehow I made it. You know, it's like, you know what, maybe someday it's just going to dawn on me, I always get through it. God gets me through this stuff, you know. It's got to sink in. It's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. Whatever you're going through, you just got to have this attitude. Give thanks always in all. What you're going through right now, you might think, how could I thank God for that? Not for that, for the other side of it. Yeah. You're going to make it. Amen. All things, I'm going to make it. That's the overcomer's mentality. I'm going to make it. I'm going to get through this thing. I'm going to be victorious through Christ, not me. And I'm not smart enough or strong enough. But Christ lives on the inside of me. And through Christ, I can do all things. He told us, he said, "I've overcome the world." You can always find something to be thankful for. And it's a good idea. And that pleases God. That statement, I like this. Praise the Lord anyway. It's true. Psalm 100, verse 2. Serve the Lord with gladness. Too many Christians are serving the Lord with sadness. That's not good. What does that say about our faith in God? We don't think he's going to come through to us. Or even worse, some people serve the Lord with madness. Nothing to do with it. They're mad about the things that have happened. There's a lot of mad Christians. Don't throw anything at me now. You're mad. No, we don't have any mad Christians, don't you? But, you know, just in case, you could be a Christian, go into heaven, love Jesus, and be mad at God and people and stuff and circumstances. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. Don't be sad. Don't be mad. Chris Hodges says, "I never hire sad people or mad people because it corrupts our whole culture. We don't want them around. We don't want them around." If you work on these 7 things, it will transform you from being a victim into a victor. Somebody going to play something? Okay. Lelaine's gone. Look, Lane got, I don't know, she's looking for the van, the Santa Monica Pier or something. That was her cue. And I looked over there and she was gone. She's left. Now listen, if you work on these 7 things, it will transform you from being a victim. You may say, you know, I don't have a victim. We all got a little bit of it somewhere. It's the nature. Every day, you get rid of it today, tomorrow, it's going to try to creep back in on you. A victim mentality, it's part and parcel to the curse and the fallen nature that's within us. It's on the inside of us. The Bible calls it the flesh nature. Loves to have pity and to be that victim. You know what? And if we'll apply these seven things, it will bring peace and happiness into your home and family. Just think about what I'm telling you. Just close your eyes. I just want you to meditate on your own life. This message is not for somebody you know. It's for every one of us in this room. God wants to turn you into an overcomer. I look out on this room and I see a room full of overcomers. 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 The next victory is right around the corner for you. You got to have that in your heart. Keep it. If David ever let go of the vision of being a king and being an overcomer and being victorious, we wouldn't even have heard of him. He'd be gone. He'd be disappeared. Your victory is right around the corner. I see a room full of overcomers. I see a room full of world changers. I see a room full of gifted children of God. God's waiting for you to rise up and go against the flow of this world. We're people of the word. We have friends that overcome. Think about the things that you've got in your life. You walk in the Spirit. You worship constantly. You feed your faith and starve your doubts. You develop and use your spiritual gift. We're thankful people. Thank you, Lord. Help us, Lord, to identify areas in our life that need to change, things that need to go. Help us to see our blind spots, Lord. Help us to see them. Identify ourselves, not other people, but right now, Lord God, just help us to see something that we can change in all these seven areas, things that we need to change, things that we need to do. We're here today, Lord God, because we love you. We believe you have great things in store for us. Maybe you need to make some changes in your thinking. Maybe you need to repent to the Lord for not being thankful. Maybe you've been feeding your doubts, huh? Don't raise your hand. Anybody been feeding your doubts? Stoking the fire? Just throwing more logs on the doubt fire? Start with repenting. Say, I'm sorry, Lord. I'm not going to do that anymore. Maybe you just haven't been glad. You've just been overwhelmed by the circumstance. You haven't had a glad heart. The Bible says, serve the Lord with gladness. Maybe you need to repent of that. Maybe you've been ruled by your flesh, by the temptation. Maybe you've identified with who you used to be. Maybe you've called yourself what your temptation is, and you need to never do that again. Look, we're all in this together. Everybody's praying, every head bowed. We're all in this together, folks. Every one of us has to fight the fight every day. I'm not standing up here saying I don't fight the fight. We're all fighting the fight. We're all in this together. Nobody has it perfect. Let's each take a step. Everybody in this room, I want you to take a step in your heart today. What's my next step? What am I going to do? What do I have to overcome? What one of these things I said today, it's my next step. The Christian walk is just that. It's a walk, which means steps, steps, steps. What's your next step? What's your next step? Take a step today. Get rid of the victim mentality. Ask God to forgive you and to change you. Maybe you never surrendered your life to Christ. Maybe that's why you're here today. If I asked you right now, if you died right now, would you go to heaven? What would your answer be? You might say, I don't know, think so, hope so, not sure. Listen, that's why you're here today, if you're not sure. You can know for sure that you have eternal life simply by surrendering your life to Christ. If you've never done that, if you're not sure if you've ever done that, that's why you're here today. Maybe you surrendered your life to Christ in the past, but today you're not sure. You need to get back on track. Maybe you're just making a big step of faith on breaking from the past. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If today is a new day, a fresh start for you, I'm not going to ask you to come up front. Just make it a signal. Today is a new day. If either one of those two apply to you, just slip up your hand real quick. Thank you. Anybody else? Today's a new day. You want to be sure if you died tonight, you go to heaven. Or you need to get back on track with God. Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else? Pray this prayer with me. Everybody help him out. Dear Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on a cross for my sins. And I believe God raised you from the dead. I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. Can't save myself. Jesus, please forgive all my sins. Come live on the inside of me. Make me into a new person. Wherever you lead me, I'll follow. From this day, forevermore. Right now, I'm born again. I'm saved. I'm a Christian. I'm going to heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus is my Lord. Give the Lord praise. People prayed that prayer, meant business with God. Their lives will never be the same.